Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever met someone you thought was a ball of fire? I know I've met several people like that. Tell me, do you know what a pink slip is? Now, hint, it isn't something that a woman wears. Have you ever wanted to know more about reinventing yourself? Tell me, would you like to learn more about how a bitch is born? Can you imagine finding your own personal Independence Day? Have you ever heard about a book called Shedding the Corporate Bitch, Shifting Your Bitches to Riches in Life and Business? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to become a bitch who is rich? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I will be introducing you to my guest. This is the first time she's been on our show, and she is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with great information and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk More Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeart Radio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy the show. Now let me tell you about our guest today. She is known as a ball of fire author, speaker, screenwriter, and leadership change agent. She inspires, motivates, and equips women with the mindset and skill set needed to achieve success and prosperity in their life and their business. She is the founder of Ball of Fire Consulting, a business management and leadership growth company, and Ball of Fire Media, an entertainment and educational practice. I'm pleased to welcome to the show today Bernadette Bowles. Hi, Bernadette. How are you doing?
I'm great, January. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so pleased to have you on the show. I'm so excited about talking about what bitches know and do. But before we get to that exciting topic, would you share with my listeners where your success story began, where you were born, and who your early mentors were?
Sure, absolutely. And I love that question. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I am one of 12 children.
Wow.
Yes. I'm the eighth. So just being a middle child, you'll get to know kind of how my life progressed.
in that
stereotypical middle child. My earliest mentors were my parents, and specifically one of my sisters. Not that all of them aren't wonderful, but my father was a definite mentor to me, being both a corporate executive and entrepreneur, and then my mother, of course. So anyone who can kind of balance life of 12 children, you know, has to be a hero in anybody's mind.
You know, I remember many years ago seeing that fabulous movie, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, I think you're actually one of the few people that I've ever met who was part of the dozen. Eight is great, but talk about what it's like growing up in such a large family.
Oh, it's fabulous. And uh-huh. We're so blessed. Both my parents are gone now, but we're so blessed that they raised us so close-knit and really respecting and revering each other. And all of them are in Philadelphia still. I'm the only one who flew the coop.
Okay.
And went down to Atlanta. And it's wonderful that they still spend a great deal of time together. They still all live within like an hour of each other.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And it was just a big party all the time. We certainly had fights, and we certainly had our Saturday night wrestling matches. And
uh-huh.
we certainly had our qualms. But at the same time, overall, it was just one big party. And it continues now. And I think we do it because we're honoring our parents who did such a fabulous job with mm-hmm. all of us.
How often does the family all get together?
Oh, geez. I'm saying that like large groups of them at least once a month. As a collective group, probably Christmas, Thanksgiving, graduations that are, you know, because 22 nieces and nephews, we have graduations going on all the time.
Yeah.
So they get together quite often, and it leaves me sitting down here kind of envious, but at the same mm-hmm. time just appreciative that they do get to spend so much time together.
Well, my gosh, I think to get your family together, you'd probably have to rent a hall or some kind of a – we took our family last year for my 70th birthday on a cruise, a Disney cruise, and there were 17 of us. And when we did our family portrait, I looked at my husband and said, how did this happen? You know,
right.
Where did all these people come from?
It's true.
when we just started out? That's such a lovely story, and the best part about it is that everyone is still close and that they get to see each other, and they're continuing to honor your mother and father.
Yeah.
In what ways did your mom and dad especially mentor you?
Well, my father especially, and my mother just didn't need to tell me, but my father, regardless of the fact that he came from the Depression era, mm-hmm. and, you know, he had six very strong-willed women, daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically taught me that there was nothing that I couldn't do. There was no one I couldn't be. There mm-hmm. was no goal I couldn't achieve. And he was, you know, basically kicking me out the door to go off to college. And he wanted me to go away. He wanted all of us to travel and see
uh-huh.
the world. And as much as he was a teacher at times, throughout his career, he also wanted us to use the world as our education. And so I greatly appreciated that because I too believe that, yes, you can get a great schooling, but until you're out in the world, do you really get the real life experiences? So they just embedded kind of just go out in the world and be who you are.
And go for it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Go for it. Now, are any of your other siblings, are they doing public speaking or public radio the way you are? Are you the only one?
well, we are a talented group, whether it's majority, every one of them are athletes in some way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
And then a large group of them are artistic or musical, a number of singers, especially my one sister who cut an album back in, I'm aging myself, cutting an album back, you know, in the, I want to say it was the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And so we're all, a good number of them have some kind of musical personality. None of them are really out on a stage. Oh, well, my sister is from a singing and entertaining perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same sister I mentioned who really was my mentor from a very young age because I admired and revered the fact that she got out on stages and she was singing and entertaining and all those type of things that I wanted to do. And it's made a 180, I guess, a complete circle in that I'm doing that now.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you have mentors who are your wonderful mom and dad, and then your sister also mentored you. Now, when you left Philadelphia, you went to, what was the first city you went to?
I moved to Boca Raton to go to college.
What was that like?
Well, that's kind of where my bitch story begins, but
okay.
That was very freeing, because here I was under the, auspices of 11 brothers and sisters, and I always wanted to stand out. I always wanted attention. I always wanted kind of people to know who I was. Mm-hmm. And so it was a fabulous kind of freeing Independence Day type of experience that I was finally out on my own. I just didn't know it was going to take some paths and some decisions, because I always wanted to kind of be different. I always wanted to stand out, but yet some of the decisions I made weren't for the right reasons, but that's okay, because those are my life's lessons and kind of made me who I am today.
Well, those are the things we'll talk about when we get to the part of the show where we talk about regrets. And it's very understandable to be in a family of 12 for you to want to feel special, for you to want to stand out, and for you to want to make your own statement. Now, after college, what did you do?
So I was fortunate enough that while I was in college, I already had a corporate job.
Oh, okay.
And being one of 12, you start to work very early. Uh-huh. My father definitely taught us a very strong business acumen. So I was quite talented from a business perspective, and was fortunate to get some significant positions very early in my college years. So I stayed on there because I did have a very good job before I even graduated from college, and I was in retail. And I decided that I was going to kind of climb the corporate ladder down in Florida. So I stayed in Boca Raton for just about 12 years.
Okay. And you had a corporate position. And now what prompted you? Was that your first experience, obviously, in the corporate world where you decided you need to become a corporate bitch?
Well, actually, it started earlier than that.
Really? Okay.
It started earlier than that, because I ended up being, a middle-class child who wore hand-me-downs. And we started work early because I wanted to be able to pay for whatever I wanted. I didn't want to have to ask for my parents for any money, even as early as 7th and 8th grade. So I started work very early, went down to Florida, and I thought I was doing great because I'm buying my own hush puppies and bell bottoms and whatever the trendy stuff was back then. But yet I get down to Boca Raton, and these kids, I'll call them, they, it was extremely wealthy, and all of my friends, drove beautiful cars, and a guy I dated flew a helicopter into school. And, so I was all of a sudden thrown into this world of, of greed and prosperity and power and position. And I just kind of made a decision for myself that I wanted those things. That's what I wanted. And I thought that that would give me the kind of the differentiation, the uniqueness, the love, quite honestly, that I always wanted to have. And yet at the same time, I also found that there was some ugliness around people that had those type of things. Mm-hmm. And yet I knew that, but at the same time, I thought, well, if I have to be that in order to get power, position, and prosperity, then that's something I'll do. And I'll just be able to change, after a while. It's just going to be, it'll just be me, between 9 and 11 at night. And then when I come home, I'll be, the sassy Bernadette that, my brothers and sisters knew. And that didn't quite happen.
No. Well, we can't wait to hear how this story unfolds. We're going to hear from our sponsors. And then we'll be right back with Bernadette Bowes and her fascinating story.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters?
Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Are you striving to find a job you love but don't know where to start? If so, you'll want to know about Career Esteem's Find a Great Job Fast program. Learn new ways of job searching and how to find the hidden jobs that aren't being advertised. You don't have to rely on job boards anymore. Shave weeks or months off your job search. Go to careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job to learn more. That's careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job. Contact Sherry Sambursky, careeresteem.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
You know, for my listeners, we recently did two fabulous interviews, one with Charles Brokop, and he shared so many tips on how to save money. He's kind of changed my life because he basically said that sales are not the way to save money, which is news to me and something I have always told my husband. And also, Sherry did a great interview with us, and both interviews are archived at iHeartRadioTalk.com. Today we're visiting with Bernadette Bowles, and she is the author of a Ball of Fire. No, she is the owner of Ball of Fire Consulting, and what she called her pink slip to freedom, shedding. Bernadette authored her first series of books, Shedding the Corporate Bitch, Shifting from Bitch to Rich in Life and Business. And she is now adapting her story into a film screenplay called Confessions of a Corporate Bitch. This sounds very exciting, what you're doing, Bernadette. tell me, how did you come up with the title of your true story, Shedding the Corporate Bitch? I love it. It's fabulous.
Well, thank you. Well, it was actually by accident. And it was during an emotional breakdown that I was having out in Vegas at a conference. So I was having a conversation with a young lady. It was a very long week of this conference, entrepreneurial conference. And it was a very emotionally draining week. They really kind of made you dig deep in trying to uncover what was holding you back. And I was just burned out and sitting at a lunch. And Cassie, this young lady, turns to me and she said, why are you getting so emotional? She said, you know, what can I do to help? And I said, well, I shedded this corporate bitch that I was for so long. And now I'm really kind of moving toward really building a rich life for myself. And I just don't know how to go about doing that and how to apologize for, you know, all the havoc I wreaked, you know, during all those years.
Sure.
And she could just kind of, she commented to me, she said, that's a book. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's, you know, I've never even thought about ever writing a book. And she said, Shedding the Corporate Bitch, just what you just said. That's a book of what, you know, your lessons, your experiences. You could apologize. You could take accountability. You could do whatever you want with it. But that's an education for other people as to kind of how did you go down that path and then how did you come out of it, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a killer title. And how does – now, share with our listeners, how does one become a corporate bitch?
Well, this is what I I learned during the writing of the book, and it applies to anything. So if you're not even in corporate, don't, you know, think that it's just about corporate. What I realized during the writing of it is the reason why I chose that path and I became that type of person, which means I was very demeaning, very, you know, much of a tyrant to people, and really wreaked havoc on anybody. The reason why someone does that and the reason why I did that is I actually was dealing with some insecurities and negativities and feelings of low self-worth within myself that caused me to lash out in those ways, because I thought it was the only way. I didn't have enough belief and confidence in my own, you know, my own self, my own skills, my own talent, and therefore I compensated it by lashing out on others. And so that's where the bitches are actually those negativities, those fears, those insecurities, those negative statements you make to yourself, as opposed to it's about a person. Yeah, they're more about the inner junk that people carry around that caused them to lash out.
That's a great, very great description of what a corporate bitch is. It's really something I can relate to. I can see this happening to so many women who go into corporate world trying to compete with men, trying to be tough. Now, what did it take for you to face your struggles and push through to where you are today? How did you do that?
Well, when I was let go, when I got that pink slip.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about pink slip. What's that like?
Well, you know, for someone that was very successful, despite myself, I was very successful. The fact that my 25-year career was coming to an end with a pink slip, I just at first was quite devastated, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And yet at the same time, there was some degree of relief within me that I just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was struggling with being angry, but at the same time being somewhat at ease. And so I spent time really trying to think through and do a lot of soul searching. That's what got me into that conference in Vegas, because I was doing a lot of soul searching on how did I become that person? And then what does it mean that, you know, I've left corporate and where do I go next? And so I really just had to face all of my demons and be willing to look myself square in the mirror and be honest about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of kind of who I was at the time, and then decide, what do I want to be? And I decided I didn't want to be that anymore. And I didn't want to live with all that angst within me. And I didn't want to hurt people in the way that I was doing it. So I was so determined to make up and to account and be, you know, apologetic and be responsible for who I was, that helped me push through to become the woman I am today.
So basically what you're saying is you decided to become a nice person, didn't you?
I decided to become my 12-year-old self, who was a nice, fun, loving, you know, friendly, engaging, sympathetic, compassionate girl. And I just decided I needed to find me again.
Now, I'm interested to know, when you went through this process, and it must have been very, very difficult, did you have therapy? Did you have help? Did you seek a counselor, a therapist to get you through this difficult time?
No, it's funny. I've been journaling. It is strange and ironic, I guess, that I did eventually write a book, because I've been journaling since I was about 7 or 8. My dad actually also journaled, and he always... And he told me it's a free therapist. And, you know, if you just if you just dump into a journal, not pay attention to what you're actually saying, and use it to kind of really uncover what's going on within you, you can kind of, you know, push through a lot of it yourself. But then, of course, I did. Again, I have such a great support system, just even within my own family, let alone with my friends. And then I do have a personal coach, business coach, that I've worked with for 5 years. And so on a weekly basis, she just keeps me grounded toward my goals and objectives and my head as well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because so many of my guests have talked about personal coaches and reaching out to other people, networking, going to conferences. That's where you get the answers, don't you agree?
Well, I think there you get answers from a multitude of places. And yet at the same time, like for myself, I continue to journal and I continue to just put out very, very bluntly what I'm thinking and feeling and dealing with. And that is also very cathartic and very healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, I think, you know, you can get help in, you know, multitudes of ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's so many people out there who want to help you. It's interesting, you know, when people write books, they think that, you know, they have competition from other writers. And the reality I have found from doing the show is other writers are cheering for you.
Yes.
And hoping you do well. And they're probably the most supportive group in the world. Don't you agree?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Well, first, I don't believe in, desperation, deprivation. I certainly believe there's abundance out there. And the last 7 years, at least, I believe that. I didn't believe that before when I was extremely competitive. but, yes, you're absolutely right. In the writing community, you know, if it wasn't for the writing community really holding me up over the past, you know, while I was writing the book and now the screenplay, which is a trial in itself. Yes, the writing community has been instrumental in keeping me motivated.
I know. I feel the same way. I've mentored several writers that are working their way through the system, and it's been such a inspiring thing to do. You know, I wrote my first book when I was 50, and it was very difficult to do, very difficult at that time. Now there is no excuse. If you
right.
have a book within you, it is so easy. You go to Amazon, you go to CreateSpace, and you can produce the most professional, perfect book yeah. that you'll ever imagine. And anyone out there listening to us, sit down, go to your computer and start writing your book. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Bernadette Bowles.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. I'm pleased to announce that Tom Ingracia and Jared Kreminski will be on the show later this month featuring one of their chapters from their fabulous book, One Door Closes. Today we're visiting with Bernadette Bowles, the author of Shedding the Corporate Bitch, Shifting Your Bitches to Riches in Life and Business. Bernadette, could you share with my listeners your website information, where your books are available, and your radio show?
Oh, certainly. Yes, they can obviously go to Amazon for my book, but you can also go to sheddingthebitch.com. You can also go to Bernadette Bowles. You can also go to ballofireconsulting.com and purchase the book there as well. Mm-hmm. And then my radio show is, of course, Shedding the Bitch Radio. And that can be found at blogtalkradio.com/sheddingthebitch.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that information. Now, going through this, getting the pink slip and leaving the corporate world, what did you learn from this whole process that you went through? It must have been very painful.
It was painful. There's a lot of high and lows. The one thing I really learned is I can just be me and the world will respond to that with whatever it is I want to do and how I want to do it, just basically being myself and not having to mask or pretend to be somebody I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that was very kind of revealing for me because it all actually happened at a public speaking event, and my feet were killing me in these shoes that I had. And I'm standing on stage, and I followed a fashion consultant, and he was just talking about the fact that you should never wear, you know, uncomfortable shoes and uncomfortable dresses on a stage, and there I am breaking all the rules that he had. And I basically just said, you know what, audience, if you don't mind, I'm going to kick off my shoes, put up my hair, and just get comfortable. And I, at that very moment, I just said to myself, you know what, I want them to appreciate what they're getting out of today, but I also need to be, you know, true to myself. And I never got such a reception of acceptance, you know, in a very long time, I'll at least say. So I just really learned that I can just be me and I can just be very goofy and very kind of charismatic and gregarious, loud and quiet. And, you know, so that's how I present myself now to people. And if you like me, great. But if you don't, I can't do anything about it.
I love it. You know, I'll share with you and my listeners, one of the best things about turning 70 is that you can finally wear shoes that feel good. and you don't have to worry about if they're trendy or stylish or if they look good. The important thing is that you feel good.
Right.
And that's one of the best things about being 70.
Yes.
Now, share with us, Bernadette, what your readers and fans have taken from your story. What's the response been?
Well, they've taken the fact that they, too, put out kind of some negativity. They put out some of the whining, as you even put it,
mm-hmm.
because of junk that they haven't dealt with.
Okay.
And therefore, they learn that, you know, dealing with it, you know, even just one little step at a time, very subtly, will make dramatic changes to not only what they're putting out into the world, but really what they're feeling and what they're dealing with inside. And it impacts their, you know, their home life. It impacts their love life. It impacts their career or their business. In all aspects, they just simply learn little steps and little tips and advice through. I did come up with a process out of it. It was almost like my own morning process where they actually learned to discover and confront and shed the junk that's holding them back so they can create the riches in life they deserve. And
let me ask you a question. In mm-hmm. doing what you've been doing, do you think that the junk is from the childhood?
I know exactly where the junk is, and it's aspects of incidences that happened in my childhood mm-hmm. and that I just perpetuated even into my 20s, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, there's things that linger even, you know, even until today, there's still things that I, you know, haven't dealt with completely that still need to kind of go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I work through those things each and every day. But yes, I think very much so. And it might not have anything to do with your family. It might have to just do with situations that you were in, experiences
mm-hmm.
that you had, tragedies mm-hmm. that happened to you that many people might know or very few know about. And I certainly learned and dug into those when I was writing the book.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's so true. So many people go through life and they kind of just go past their childhood and try to forget it. But as you get older and older, you think about it more and more, don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It certainly comes to the forefront. And a lot of things you think about that you have regrets and you wish you could do differently. Now, where do you meet your fans, followers, and your community?
Well, in a lot of different places right now, it's heavy online. Whether that's my radio show or in webinars I do and Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. But I do have bitch parties around the country.
I love it.
Yeah, where it's kind of a social slash, you know, support type of evening. Well, actually, they range anywhere from an hour to a weekend retreat where women predominantly, there's always a man or two that show up, but so they where they come together. And then a friend of mine just pointed this out to me. I am also doing it as far as, you know, now with the screenplay, is a friend of mine said, you were working one-on-one, which I certainly do, and then you started with groups, and then you wrote the book, and now you're writing something for the masses in a screenplay to get your message across.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow, that's so true, you know, and valid. So I try to reach them in, you know, whatever way that they need to be supported. So I do a lot of that online, virtually, I mean, you know, video calls, video groups, hangouts, those type of things.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it interesting how you walk through one door and you get to that level and the next door opens and it takes your career takes on a life of its own and your career is just blossoming. It's very exciting to share you with my listeners.
Thank you.
And it's very exciting to share my sponsors. So we will do that, and then we will be back with Bernadette Bowes. We're going to talk about her screenplay called Confessions of a Corporate Bitch. We'll be right back.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I hope that all of you listening, if you are not socially fit, I hope you will become socially fit this year, as is my intention. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Pat Bubash will be on the show tomorrow night. She's the queen of second marriages, so she has, well, fun interview with us. We're back with Bernadette Bowes, and she is the author of Shedding the Corporate Bitch, Shifting Your Bitches to Riches in Life and Business, which is an absolute killer title. Bernadette, what have been the greatest successes in your life, and who do you honor supporting you through them?
Oh, wow. the greatest success in my life, I would have to say, is the bond. I'm going to go back to my siblings, is the bond between my siblings. And we each kind of really work on that. Because relationships you have to work on. And then as far as my other successes, business successes, is this whole process over the last 5 years with my book and then turning it into a screenplay. I mentioned my coach earlier, and she has just been so instrumental in, as a friend, as a coach, as a therapist, to your earlier comment. I mean, she's played all the roles, and if it really wasn't for her over the past 5 years, I certainly would have done probably the same things that I'm doing today, but not nearly as successfully.
You know, it's interesting that you have a coach, and I highly recommend that to all my listeners who are thinking of starting a career. A coach will make you think big, where, you know, as my mantra is, if you think it, you can do it. But so many people are afraid to think it. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. They're afraid to think it because they're afraid of whether or not that, you know, if it's a doable thing, then, oh my God, do I actually have to go and do it?
Have to do it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that is exactly what happens. Now, when you look at your career, you speak, write a great deal about business life topics and helping women stake their claim in business. What do you want them to take away?
I want them to take away that they only live once.
Oh, okay.
It goes really, really fast, the life that we have. And they should make the most of it and go after whatever it is that they do want and simply do it on their own terms, meaning to be themselves as opposed to, you know, doing, you know, being somebody that they're not. But live, because this one life is going to be gone sooner or later. And at the end of it, I know you're going to talk about regrets, but at the end of it, you don't want any.
The ideal life, which doesn't happen that often.
Right. Well, not, you know, ideal in your, however they define that. However they define ideal for them is how they should pursue life. But to sit in a closet and not do anything it just leaves me, I hate to say sad, but it leaves me wanting to work even that much harder to help them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've written one screenplay, and I had some people interested, but it never amounted to anything. Mm. How is your screenplay coming along, Confessions of a Corporate Bitch?
Well,
I love that title.
Well, it's actually done. At least the 12th revision has been done. I have been, it's a very long story, but I have been pitching it, and actually that's how even the idea to come about doing it came about. And therefore, I do have some folks that I'll be able to send it out to read it. The way I look at this is I'm being pulled to do this. I definitely feel that it's something I am to be working on. Mm-hmm. And I'll just continue to work it and get it out into the hands of people that can make a decision one way or the other. Then my decision is, okay, then if no one else picks it up, do I continue to move forward with it? So we'll see, but I'm optimistic.
It's very exciting because I adored writing my screenplay. I think I may pull it out again after talking to you.
Do.
And isn't it so much fun to write a screenplay? I think it's actually more fun writing a screenplay than writing a book. Don't you agree?
Well, it's certainly been, a whole different experience. And yes, I have to admit, I struggled at first, but I actually have been loving it. And if I can just say, too, I was just recently told that I was a finalist in the best movie title contest with Blue Cat screenplay. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, you should be. You should be. Now, quickly, we only have about 2.5-3 minutes. What does success mean to you, and do you have any regrets, Bernadette Bowles?
I definitely don't have any regrets. I believe that whatever's happened to me has happened for a reason, and I just try to relish and learn from it and move forward. Success for me now is definitely contentment, peace, self-love for myself and for everyone around me, harmony, and just an overall rich life full of love and joy and contentment.
Oh, that is right coming from our corporate bitch.
Reformed. Reformed.
Reformed corporate bitch. I love it. That's fantastic. And it has been wonderful having you on the show. I've looked forward to meeting you, and I've looked forward to sharing you with our listeners at iHeartRadio. And I hope you will come back and visit us again and again and again.
Thank you so much for having me, January.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests for the show are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Bernadette. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to personally welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, please sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download. We really, really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then have some wine, cheese, crackers, and then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Bernadette Bowes. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Serantos.
This is Serantos. Check out my hot new fun dance song called I Love to Love You Too. 33% of all profits for this song are going to the American Heart Association. Hope you started singing and dancing. Check out my other songs for free on my website at www.melogia.com.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.